Steve, how are you?
Wonderful. It's a podcast.
I know. It's very, very warm in here. It's like we're at that awkward point of the year where like you can't have the heat on, but you can't have the AC on. It's raining out, so I can't open up the window.
Wow, you got lots of problems going on.
I know.
But it's warm. Do you like it warm or do you like it cold?
No, 2 degrees. Like the colder it goes, the better. Like, yeah. I like to regulate my body temperature. Okay.
Does the person you share the house with like that same temperature as well?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good thing.
For the most part. The big argument, the usual daily argument, is over the bedroom fan can be turned on. Because I like it on immediately. She likes it on right before she's about to fall asleep. So anyways, this podcast is called Stuff Summer Says with
Steve.
With Steve. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to spend a decent chunk of the time talking about women's basketball, and we're going to do it with someone that's very qualified to talk about women's basketball, which is neither of us. That's right. Maren Walseth, who is a former Lady Lion, former college basketball coach. She's doing TV stuff. She's a busy woman. She's going to join us to discuss really kind of the state of women's athletics, not just women's basketball, women's sports in general. Her career then kind of and also a little, we had to ask her about the Lady Lions because of course we did. And then we're gonna talk about women's basketball a little bit more. We're gonna talk about men's basketball. Steve's got a trivia question that I think I know the answer to. I've got a rant about Penn State ticketing, and then okay. Okay. So go ahead and listen to our interview with Maren, and we'll be back after this. Steve, you wanted to have a women's sports episode, and you tracked down a guest to talk about women's sports. And I'm not sure that there's anybody more qualified to talk about women's sports than our guest tonight. We've got a former Lady Lion, former WNBA player, a former assistant coach at Navy and Penn State, a former head coach at North Dakota State. She talks about basketball on ESPN, Big Ten, SNY. Did I miss anywhere else there, Maren? Good.
I think you hit it, but I do think there are plenty of more qualified Penn State alums, but
we are excited you are here. You are the most important guest of the evening. So it is Maren Walseth. Like I said, she is a former Lady Lion, former WNBA player. She is working her way into a career in TV, I think would be the best way to say it. But here to provide some perspective on women's sports, women's basketball, because I think it's about time, at least in my opinion, as a ardent supporter of the Lady Lions for the last however many years, probably right around your Final Four run. Does that make you feel old? I don't want to make you feel old.
Sometimes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's just get after it. Let's get right to the heart of the conversation. I think over the last, really the course of my lifetime, women's sports has kind of always had these collective moments. There has been certain teams, particularly in soccer, maybe occasionally in basketball, that have kind of been this moment that the whole country rallies around. But I think in a lot of ways, the last year, maybe 2 years, really, it's starting to feel bigger than a moment. And I want to get your opinion on why does this feel bigger than just Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese or any of those one single people?
I think it's easy to talk about a singular athlete or a singular team within a sport. And you saw that, like, Brandi Chastain in that World Cup. And it was just like, that was its own isolated moment in time. That was awesome. Or you see the 96 Summer Games and that Olympic basketball team, you know, and that's its own thing at that moment. But when you have the continual momentum and it bleeds from one sport to the other, I feel like it's a culmination of a lot of things happening at the same time. So it's not just this sport or this female or that female. You know, I mean, just in the last, you know, handful of months, 2 years, just the amazing progress that the women's national soccer team has made and Megan and the things that she comes out and champions for. But she's not by herself. We see a rise in collegiate softball being portrayed in the media. I'll be the first to say, I did not like my third grade softball experience. It was boring as all get out. Not a fan. Too many bugs. Didn't like having to wear a face mask over glasses as a catcher because we had to rotate positions. Not cool. But heck yeah, I'll turn on ESPN and watch a softball game or have it on because it's exciting, because the stories that are being told, because it's popular, it's in the media, they have personalities, they're showing us a great competitive product. So like it's not just one sport. You know, there's the Professional Women's Volleyball League is up and running now. And obviously I can easily talk about women's basketball and the growth of individual athletes, the WNBA with their expansion. But it's, you know, to me, there's so much overlap from sport to sport that it's like you can't turn it off, you can't turn it away. I think that collectiveness, you know, what is the saying? High tides rise all boats, you know, like it's not just one group doing it or one sport or one coach or one athlete.
Do you feel like, I guess one of the things that I've been thinking about, particularly with women's sports, is for whatever reason in society, we love to compare things, right? Like we compare our fandom of one sport, even on this podcast, we compare our fandom of Penn State football versus Penn State basketball, and they're completely different. Do you think we need to stop looking as it at as either men's sports versus women's sports, and maybe they can kind of more so coexist in a space, if that makes sense, and stop that comparison?
That would be wonderful. I think that's really hard to do in our society, that everything is a comparison. You know, in the business world, it's let's compare our numbers this year to our numbers last year, or our retention rate, you know, last year to this year. And so I think it's unrealistic to ask us as a society to get away from comparison. That's just not possible. But is it seeing men's sports versus women's sports, or is it seeing the rise outside of the sport? Because you hear a lot within the sport of like game supports game, game recognizes game. You know, it's not hard for NBA players to sit in the front row, courtside seats of the Las Vegas Aces playoff run or first game of the season. Like, that's not hard for them to do because they see the work, they know the value, that like they're within the circle, so to speak. It's the outside seeing, you know, the non-athlete, the casual fan, seeing basketball for what it is, seeing soccer for what it is, but taking the complete comparison away, I don't think that's realistic. That's just not society.
Is there a point where the media needs to, not needs to, should maybe, I don't know, make less, make not try to make every big moment as big as it is? Like last night, that game was huge, and it was, but the ESPN spent a long time making sure everybody knew it was big because it was big, and it met the hype and was the right time. But it seems like those inflection points that have happened, folks want to say, yep, this is the moment, this is the time. And it seems like that, I don't know, puts a little extra weight on it or makes it less enjoyable, and just let it be the game or the event, but it also needs to be validated at some point. So I guess I'm trying to get a sense from your perspective of someone who's competed and played and coached. At what point do you just get to be respected for what you do, or do you have to get a little higher? I mean, people understand a little higher level before you get that respect in it for just being great.
Yeah, I think like that's an interesting point, Stephen. I guess it's also comes back to when, as women, do we stop just being grateful for being here? You know,
Fair
like you
point.
hear
Yep.
that all the time too. Like, well, you should just be happy that you're playing. You should just be happy that you got a new locker room, or you should be happy that you are on ABC. Who cares what time it is? Like, so it's, I see that like tightrope to be walked, where yes, I understand there's gratitude involved, but men aren't just happy to be on TV. They're jockeying for prime time. I mean, let's be honest, there's a pecking order in the NBA, and the people, I'm not a huge NBA fan until the playoffs, so This is not a bash on men's sports by any means. I just have limited time in my day, and I can't watch the NBA during college basketball season. But you know, the lower half of the teams in the NBA, are they, should they just be happy that they're on ESPN on a Monday night or on a Wednesday night? Or they can fight, they can want more, right? Like that's okay.
Yeah, and I wasn't
Think
trying to
there's a
downgrade it. It just feels like this is the moment. No, this is the moment. No, this is the moment. And no, you're here. There just needs to be, it just needs to be shown. It just needs to be covered. It just needs to be whatever. I mean, the best basketball player I saw at Penn State in person was Susie McConnell. Like it wasn't even close, male or female, right? So for me, it's been that way since then, if not before. And sometimes, because I'm older than Darian, right? Like, because I hear this is the moment, this is the moment. I'm like, just let them have the moment. Like, let them, but to your point, like, I get the pecking order thing too, so.
yeah, I think it's like for so long, you know, whether it was, you know, quote unquote Olympic sports at Penn State or different Lady Lions teams or you know, different for a long time, you had to, the media had to force the issue, had to push the game, had to make it a bigger deal, which is unauthentic, inauthentic to the moment. I personally don't think anything was forced last night with that LSU Iowa game. They made a stinking huge deal about it. It was monumental and it lived up to every moment of it. And there wasn't a doubt that it was going to. Could LSU have won by 25 and could it still have lived up to the moment? Absolutely. Because of the personalities, because of the stories, because of the storylines, because of the coaches, like it's, I think what I'm seeing from what you're saying, Steve, what I take is like, when is it forced versus when is it like, yeah, we've got an All-American on our soccer team and we're gonna put her on every stinking billboard in town because that's normal. Because that's what she deserves, which is different than another athlete on another team. Well, we did it for soccer and we did it for softball, we did it for gymnastics. So we better find someone from fill in the sport and plaster her name up there too. Like that's force. Now, is there a need for opportunity? Like, how is said athlete or said sport going to get recognized if you're not given opportunity? And so it happens, but there, I guess I see that like tightrope or that balancing act of opportunity versus forcing an issue that is uncomfortable for the athlete, uncomfortable for the team, just doesn't make sense.
No,
Like
that's
we've
great.
all read things, whether it's at Penn, you know, from Penn State or the state of Pennsylvania or the WNBA or whatever, that you're like, okay, so does, all right. Okay, moving on. You know, that it's like kind of you're wondering, like, did I miss something? Is there a backstory I didn't get? I think the same thing can be said for some things we read about men's sports too. You know, you're like, okay, so this is just the filler of the fill in the NBA team. They needed a slot in this publication, and so we got one.
No,
That
I
makes a lot
even
of
college
sense.
football, right? Like, pick your lower teams or whatever. I mean, whatever. Like, you're right. All that stuff.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. One thing that I've been, I guess not festering, but it's been rattling around in my brain is collectively with women's sports. I think it's always been, in some ways, at least as a man, as I see it, it has been women's sports versus the patriarchy in a lot of ways. And I think, I know that sounds weird, but I think one of the things that women's sports hasn't had, and we've kind of maybe collectively got it, is its villain that is with it contained within women's sports. And I think in a lot of ways, a lot of fans, the casual fan, can look at Kim Mulkey and say, she's kind of the bad guy here. And you've got Caitlin Clark, the good guy. And I think that was what made last night so intense. Let's see. It was a weird
Wait, I thought
analogy.
just a couple podcasts ago you didn't think Caitlin Clark was likable. Now she's your good guy?
No,
Can
I
you
said
do
she was
that?
likable. I said she was likable. I said Kim
Okay, go
Mulkey
ahead.
isn't
I'm sorry.
likable. Okay. So I want to know, do storylines like that of good versus evil normalize sports, women's sports? And just is that something that we like, we're past that moment of in that sense, if that makes sense. Sorry, I know that was a weird
Yeah,
question.
that's an interesting comment. And I guess part of me hears like the drama sells.
Yeah,
You
because
know, and the
yeah, I
drama
think that.
sells on our, you know, whether you believe whatever type of, whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, you watch your evening news, whoever it is, it's the drama, it's the negative, it's the bad, it's the scary that our society soaks up. And I don't think any of the, like, I personally don't think that the storyline of good versus evil, you know, the Kim Mulkeys of the world versus the Caitlin Clarks of the world, I don't think that's necessarily contrived or completely made up. Let's be honest, there's different personalities, and both personalities should be expressed and should be covered by the media, because there's different, like in that scenario, there's different kids. Some are going, you know, like young kids, right? Like high schoolers and AU kids, and you know, like the younger kids. And some are going to be like, oh my gosh, I love that Kim Mulkey's feisty personality and her bright clothes, and like I totally identify with that, and I want to go to LSU, and like that looks like so much fun. And mom, did you see the emotion she's playing with, or she's coaching with? And other people look at that and say, you know, have a different opinion. Like, oh my gosh, you know, why is she stepping outside of her box? Why isn't she just, you know, playing the stoic coach role that I don't think any coach ever plays? I don't know who that stoic coach is. But there's other people who see, like, if we're gonna compare coaches, who see like Lisa Bluder, who has a fiery streak, absolutely, but you see a very different demeanor and a different dress and a different way she interacts with her players. And there's kids that are like, oh mom, that woman looks so awesome to play for. Like, Dad, did you see how she high five, you know, whatever the kid sees. And so I think like both need to be shown. And I think that goes further to there's more than one way to be successful.
Makes
And
sense. Go ahead, Maureen.
those storylines or those ways or those programs should be, I think, should be told and should be put out there so that athletes find the right spot for them. And I don't think we want to go down the whole transfer portal and NIL conversation.
That's another
We don't
episode.
have time for that tonight. But I think you need to know those things as a young kid looking to go to college and play basketball or any sport somewhere. You need to know some of that. And women's basketball right now, because it's March, is on the front page of ESPN and is, you know, on our TVs and on our streaming services. But in, I don't know, 2 months, it's going to be softball. And those softball kids deserve to see the leaders of those programs be themselves and do themselves and operate and interact with their players the same way. You know, like just right now, we're so highlighted with March Madness and with women's basketball. But, you know, my hope would be that it's just part of the movement or part of the group, the collective that keeps it going. I don't know that I answered your question there, Derek.
No, that actually you did in that particularly in that last sentence, because I think you, at least the way I understood your answer there is we're finding we're now paying attention more to the storylines of within the sport as opposed to the storylines of the uphill battle for women's sports that has kind of felt like there's always been. So I think that was kind of what I was trying to get at, and I think you definitely got at it there. What the other thing that I was thinking about last night, and I was thinking about this because I sat down and decided to play some video games after the basketball game last night and decided to play 2K. And for whatever reason, I think just because women's sports has been on my mind, you can now play as the WNBA teams. And that's I've been using that as my season as opposed to the NBA, like my franchise team. And I was thinking about the WNBA, at least for my generation in particular, maybe those a little bit younger, are we becoming more, are is my generation and younger more accepting of women's sports because we are so it's always present. It's always been present in the life. There's always been the WNBA. There's always been more basketball. There's always been more softball, et cetera, on TV.
I think by and large, that is a true statement. And I say that because things that are unfamiliar to us, we are resistant to. And so, when we're traveling and we go to a different country and we're presented with new food, you're like, I'm not sure I want to try that. But if that's your culture and you bring that food and you have that food at your house for special holidays or whatever, you're like, yeah, this is normal. Like, this isn't a big deal. And so you take that to sport and more parents of your generation or a little bit younger, more parents played, both parents, men and women, moms and dads, played their sport, whatever that sport is, a little bit longer. Maybe to college, but certainly through junior high and high school. I mean, my mom, like she said this numerous times. She was a flag twirler. Like she didn't play sports. The only thing that she knew was she was going to go to these University of Minnesota basketball game, men's basketball games with my dad and watch her husband and watch the clock go from 20 to zero two times and she could go home. Because that wasn't, I mean, she had no experience of that growing up. And so it was, there were questions, it was uncertain. I mean, I think, my sister and I did a fantastic job of, breaking her in and now she's like, a stat queen, but like when you grow up in a family with two parents who are showing you these sports, taking you to these things, going outside with you, interacting with you, the opportunity is there. And then you take it with boys and girls growing up with siblings who have these opportunities. Again, this is just like normal. It's just, yeah, I got practice and so does my sister. Where's your mom tonight? She's at my sister's game. Where's your dad tonight? Well, he's at my brother's game. He's at my sister's game. Like, it's just, and we're all about sports and that's what this is about. But I gotta believe there are these same conversations happening, around arts, around debate, around other things. When you expose your kids to it, like it's normal or it's more normal. And so, like along the same lines, but slightly different. I worked at the United States Naval Academy for 3 years as an assistant basketball coach there. And obviously, it's a very predominantly men's male school, male dominated by a lot. And from the outside, some feel that, felt that, well, all these men, they just must berate these women. It must just be such a horrible place for these women to be if there's only, two women in this electrical engineering class and, 14 males, like how horrible. Well, coaching there, the women that we coached were like, no, most of them actually treat us like they're sisters. Like they protect us. They want to help us because that's their norm. Like that's what they're brought up to be, where the outside world is telling you, like, hey, this is a predominantly male environment, like you better watch out. There were kids on our team that were like, no, it was actually great. I had an issue and I with so and so and I just went to this other guy and it, like they stuck up for me, they helped me. Because it's normal. And I guess random analogy to go along with the 25-year-olds who grew up, the 25-year-old males who grow up with sisters who played really competitive and played year round, like they're gonna watch a college basketball game and be like, oh yeah, like my sister likes that team, or my sister played with that girl in AAU, or like, oh no, we can watch, it's a competitive game, we'll watch it. And when it's on in a sports bar.
It's just kind of there. And yeah, like that's kind of, I think, how I feel about it, at least. Is it's I've never known anything different, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
And I think that's pretty cool. Like honestly, I think that's
Exactly.
pretty cool because there are some people who carried the burden, carried the heavy bag to get us to this point. And for you to say, like, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of always the way it's always been. Like, well, yeah, job well done to the women older, like job well done, like to make it normal.
Well, and my mom was a pretty big is a big, pretty big Lady Lions fan, so some of that has to do with that. I want to ask you about the Lady Lions. I want to ask you your perspective on the program right now, and kind of the uphill battle that they'll face as the Big Ten expands, and who knows how good Iowa's going to be now that they've had the rock star of rock stars and all of these other factors in the way. What's it going to take for the Lady Lions to kind of get over this hump that it kind of feels like they've been on for the last 10 years?
I think college athletics is a drastically changing climate every day, every sport. I don't think what works at Penn State will necessarily work at Michigan State, and what works at Maryland, shoot, could be a complete 180 from what's successful at NC State, or, fill in the blank school. And I think that's really hard for coaches, and I think that's really hard for administrators right now. Like, the expectations have to really change, because as much as it's like a conference or a togetherness, like, there's so much individuality in amongst, I mean, in amongst NIL situations, and who you can recruit, and how you can do that. Like, it's a really tough place for coaches, of Lady Lions coaches, Katie with volleyball. I mean, it's a college athletics is a different beast right now, in a different place.
But
I
as
guess.
look, I was just gonna say, but as somebody that Steve and I do care, we I feel like Steve and I do care about Ley Lines basketball more than the average Penn Stater in general. As somebody that wants to see the program get back to maybe not necessarily the Final Four era, but the Kelly Mazzanti era, the even in my college era of the people standing behind Steve, of Alex and Maggie and Nikki
Yeah, I was
Green,
going to say, I see that
etc.
AB pic, that AB poster back there.
Hey, they were cleaning out the Jordan Center and I was shopping, baby.
I
Well,
was going to say, I have some in my garage too. Would you like those?
I will take them. Like, we can figure that out.
What does it what it is it correct for me to yearn for that era as a fan?
No, as a fan, and as people that are like the three people on here that are truly invested in women's basketball at Penn State, at with the Lady Lions, I think having expectations is important. I think when you don't have expectations, you don't care. And then who's going to meet your expectations? And I think, that's a hard place to be as a student athlete, when you're like, oh, well, nobody cares about us. Like, that's hard. Should it be hard? Maybe not. Should everybody be totally intrinsically motivated, and like, who cares if nobody watches us play? Who cares if nobody's at our games? Like, who cares? Like, yeah, that'd be great. Okay, yeah, there's social media, and like, did we talk about like how like college athletics is changing by the moment now? So it's absolutely valid for us as fans, as former players, as people that cover the sport in town, to have expectations.
How far are they from being ranked again?
Gosh, you put me on the hot seat.
Well, okay.
I
Darian's danced a little
don't vote
bit.
in the poll anymore. I did for a while. I don't vote in the poll anymore.
Darian danced for a little
But
bit,
on
like
your
I,
analyst hat, yeah.
because I feel that's like they got there briefly and then saw West Virginia and then whatever else. And honestly, I don't know that it's play on the floor. I think in some ways that Penn State Athletics has let the program down as much as anything in some ways in terms of marketing and reputation. And maybe that was coach pushed by some of the stuff they didn't do after my daughters were there, that it brought in fans that they thought we're going to win games and we're going to have fans. No, you got to recruit the blue hairs and you got to recruit the little girls to bring their families. And they went away from that, right? But the ranking is validation, right? Or at least it's perception validation. So I'm curious. Like I think it's, I don't know. It might be tough, right? Because they're losing some good players and you got to integrate the next. So that hump may still be a hump, but I don't know basketball as well as you do. So I'm not
Yeah.
asking you to put you on the spot. I'm just curious. Like, what's your
Yeah.
sense?
Well, I think that I don't think they're far. And I say that because of the portal, right? And we have no, like, their season just ended. We have no idea how many kids are going to go into the portal. We have no idea who they're going to pull out of the portal. But like, with the portal, you can instantly change your roster. You can go from 11th in whatever Power Five conference you happen to be in now. Like, you can go from 11th to second like that. Like, we talk about preseason, like, as an analyst, we're talking about preseason rankings and all this stuff within conferences. It means absolutely nothing. Nobody has a stinking clue. Like, Fairfield is a great example of a program who was okay last year. They had been really good before Carly Thibodeau-Donis got there. They were okay last year, and they're missing this year. Her coaching staff, the way she treats her players, her culture, absolutely a huge part of that. But they did a nice job of integrating a freshman in Megan Anderson, a transfer from Siena, and keeping their, I don't know, fourth, fifth, sixth year senior, you know, to kind of keep things consistent, you know, and that was her recipe to get it done. And so, like, how far away is Penn State? They're probably like three kids away. Like, where are those three kids? Who are those three kids? I don't know.
That's right.
And I got to believe that Carolyn Keeger doesn't have any more of a clue right now today than Courtney Banghart at UNC or Robin Fralick at Mississippi State or at Michigan State. Like, that's just the culture of college athletics right now. And so I think some of that also goes back to the expectations that administrators have. Like, some administrators we've seen have a short fuse and you don't get it done. Kelly Harper, shoot.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, like, you're third in the conference 3 years in a row and you can't. I mean, well, if that's where we're all at, shoot, nobody should have a job. Right,
so slightly
that's
high
the
bar.
Expectation of that particular program and whatnot, and that's what makes, you know, each individual program unique. But, you know, with the portal, I think Penn State could turn it around. Like, I mean, we saw Micah Shrewsbury do it.
Well, yeah. Ashley, this year's just made a huge difference, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's yes.
Yeah, you know, so it's a.
All right, I want to. I want to leave you or wrap up with this. You are on your career journey into the analyst role. What has that been like for you, and why pursue that?
Maybe Steve knows this. I'm assuming you know this. I was a broadcast journalism major at Penn State. I wanted to be like Summer Saunders on the Olympics, who would cover the great stories. And I was like, that looks like an amazing job. I did not want to be the reporter that stuck a microphone in your face and, you know, came up with some horrible story of, you know, made you feel horrible. But she was one of the first people that I was able to articulate and realize, like, did the like human interest story and the, like, really tell me about said athlete that I can be like, oh my gosh, I want to be like that. And so, you know, when I got to Penn State, I chose broadcast journalism kind of with that in the back of my head, of that would be cool someday. Obviously, I got into coaching. And then when I transitioned out of coaching and opening my own leadership coaching, consulting, and search firm business, I wanted to use that. I wanted to use that analyst stuff. I wanted to still be involved in basketball. And that's the really cool part. I still watch film. I still do a little mini scouting report so that I can talk educatedly about both teams. Talk to both coaches. But guys, I go home a winner every night. I haven't lost in 5 years. It's amazing. I
like
highly recommend it for everybody.
How does the competition differ from on-court competition? Like, are you conscious of competing for either opportunities or assignments, or is that not part of your thinking in it, right? Like, I'm, you know, on the court,
yeah,
you're competing.
Yeah,
like,
I'm obviously very new. Well, I guess 4 years into it, I don't know how new that is anymore. But, I mean, talk about old school. Like, I emailed every SID and whatever their title was, you know, that I thought was the decision maker within, like, 150-mile radius. I live in Philadelphia, of my house. I mean, if that isn't, like, old school, like, send out 100 emails. And LaSalle University responded right away. And he was like, we've never had a play-by-play. We don't have a budget for it, but I know who you are. Do you want to do this? I said, absolutely, Mountain. I'd love to do this. And, you know, got a little bit of the same kind of interaction with Princeton and Columbia. And, you know, then you put together a reel and you try to climb the ladder, so to speak. But just like college athletics, like, it's competitive. There are a lot of former players, a lot of former females that want to get into the space, that are in the space, that are doing a great job. I mean, if we're going to talk about women in the media, these are not Penn Staters, but Elle Duncan, Andrea Carter, and Shanae Ogumike last night on that, or all weekend, or all tournament. My gosh, talk about an outstanding, outstanding, fun to listen to, highly educated, passionate studio crew. ESPN knocked it out of the park. And the minute we see anybody else on that desk, forget about it. Like, those three women need to do it until they don't want to do it anymore. Like, they were great. And I say that in, like, coming from, like, the person who's like, oh, that would be awesome one day. But, like, they're so good. And there's so many people between here and there. But it's competitive. And I enjoy that, like, trying to get better and, putting together reels and talking and asking for feedback and doing, this year I did, this year and last year I did, a desk show for the Ivy League tournament for Ivy Madness. And that was great. And both days I walked away from it like, dude, I want more of this. Like, this is some fun stuff. But to me, whether it's calling games or working more of the desk thing, it's highlighting athletes. It's telling stories. It's being able to promote programs and the good things that are happening, not making stuff up to go back to like what we were talking about earlier. But there's so many positive things happening. There's so many good athletes. There's so many fun stories. And now there's, so many streaming services and analytics. Like, let's tell these stories. Let's share these things. This is how the next kid gets involved.
And they watch you on
That's cool.
TV and they say, like the coaches, I want to grow up and be like her on TV.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, you're a Penn Stater and we can't let you off the podcast without our rapid fire Penn State questions, okay?
Okay. As
All
long as
right.
I don't have to sing any fight songs, I'm good.
You don't have to sing any fight songs, you just got three questions. All right. Go-to creamery ice cream flavor.
Mint chocolate chip.
Okay, respectable answer. I don't know if I've ever had mint chocolate chip.
Nice of you to grade her answer, though. That's good. I'm sure she
I
appreciates
super
that.
respect that.
So, is this rapid fire, or can I give a little story about that?
No, you can give the. It's rapid fire, but you can give the story.
Women's basketball and men's basketball is like probably the second and third team that got training table back in the day, and it was in room E or F on the Jordan Center, and we would get creamer ice cream by like the pint or the half pint or whatever, and you get mint chocolate chip, vanilla or chocolate. Like, those were the only things that came. I mean, we know that the creamery had more ice cream, but like, that was the only thing that's ever showed up. And I was like, okay, I'll do mint chocolate chip all the time, every time.
Okay. That's good. That's good. You are the czar of Penn State sports for one day and one day only. What change are you making? This is why they're kind of rapid fire, but not completely rapid fire.
Change in
No more games
or
with Rec
improvement. It
Hall.
could be,
Well, yeah.
I think the game at Rec Hall was awesome. Not having been of that era, I'm a little removed from it.
Okay.
Like, I'm a little, I don't quite have the passion that the people a little bit older than me do, have. I'm going to play an outdoor volleyball game at Beaver Stadium.
Good answer.
There you
Good
go.
answer. Yeah, I like that answer. All
Yeah.
right. Last one. You're back in town for one night and one night only. What bar are you walking into?
I really like the upstairs of the tavern now. That's pretty classy. I feel
Haven't been there
like,
yet, but heard good things.
yeah, I kind of feel like, am I really in state college, or this is like high class. I really like this. Yeah, that'd be, what's the name of it again? I've only been there a few times.
Think it's
I
just the
think it's just tavern, right?
tavern. Yeah, I think it's just a continuation of the
Well,
tavern.
if you said classy and I was done there, so like,
Yeah, that's
Darian
upstairs
hopes to
at the
go
tavern,
there.
maybe. That might be what it's called, but yeah, like,
Okay.
yeah,
All
I've
right.
gone up there. I like that place.
All right, you've dealt with us for about a half hour. What would you like to plug at this point in the episode?
Where do they find your stuff?
Yeah, where do they
Oh, what?
find you?
Oh, I was like, do I
Yeah.
have to plug something for Penn State? No.
No,
Your stuff. Penn State's got its own people.
How do I watch your reel tape? I know how to find it, but how do people
Yeah.
that.
No, my
What?
website is my name, marinwalseth.com. And through that, you can find how to work with me from a coaching perspective. Obviously, my reel is there under broadcast reel. Make it real easy for you. My social media handles on Twitter and Instagram are just my name, Maren Walseth. Try to keep it as simple as possible. But I'm a big, proponent of women's sports and pushing women's sports forward and supporting women's sports.
All right, cool. Steve, I think the thing kind of tying in, but also the takeaway, and I think Martin helped me hear that, or at least see that, or reassure me of that, this is I think women's sports is here to stay, and if you don't like with it, like it, tough shit. I think that's really like the easiest way to say it. And I think right now is more than just a moment, and that's kind of what I was getting at with that first question. I wanted to kind of confirm that bias with somebody that wasn't me, because last night, I mean, it was the most watched women's basketball game ever. I think it was a 12 million was what the 12.3 million most watched women's basketball game ever. There were like only four college football games that were more watched than that. There were like virtually every baseball game was less watched than last night's women's basketball game, and it was an Elite Eight game. That's the other crazy thing. Like, there's still three very important games to go, and who knows if Iowa and South Carolina meet in the national title game. But I think ultimately, to me, what I've come to the realization over the last, like I said, maybe 2 years, 3 years, somebody that has tried to pay attention to women's basketball, and not to pat myself on the back, is that it has more than just the space. It can have its moment in the sun frequently as men's sports can and do and should. So that's my spicy hot take on the state of women's sports. What's Steve's?
Spicy hot. Yes, I agree. I mean, I think when I was asking Morin about the media hyping stuff up and that Elite Eight game deserved the hype it got and played to it. It feels like I've seen this before, like as the old guy, like I've seen this before and I've been there. Like I'm good. Like we had high school basketball and obviously, that our high school girls basketball team was good. So I was into that from the beginning. As the father of two daughters, we've done the sports thing. I've seen the 99 Women's World Cup, right? And all these moments that were supposed to be moments. And I think it's just that kind of like we talked about wrestling before, like wrestling fans are protecting their sport and want to make sure that people respect it. I think sometimes those invested in women's sports, those who've really brought it forward, are fighting so hard that it feels like the battle in some ways has been won, and I know in many ways it hasn't. But I think it sometimes we just need to say, okay, these are the folks and they're good, and here's the storylines, and here's what's going on. I think good versus evil storylines, and you guys talked about that a little bit. I think it's great that we've gotten to that level on some of them, but also sometimes I think that's lazy-ish, right? Like, well, what's the storyline? Who do we like here? Who do we don't? Right? Like, so I wrestle with that, although there's men that I like and men that I don't. So there's good guys
I
and
was
bad
gonna
guys, right?
say,
So I think that's equal that I wrestle, but I wrestle with, would we use the words, let me start, would we use the words likable for men's athletes? Because we talked about that with women. Okay, then
I
I'm
would,
good. Then I'm good.
because Zach Edey is the poster child of a non-likable athlete for me
See, then
right
I
now,
mean, right, like, so I guess I
and
wouldn't
it's.
think of them as likable. I would think of them as either a jerk or a prick, right? So, and I don't know that I would use those words with women just because, right? Or similar words. But as long as we're willing to say that we have likable and not likable and good and evil in both, then I think we're good. I think that's where we are. Like, that's where I am, you know?
I think that's what's honestly like, as much as I don't like her, Kim Mulkey has made it, has made me care, or has made me think, at least made me think about women's sports more often than any, not any other, but certainly more than most very good women's athletes or very good women's coaches. Like, I think, like Gino Auriemma, like we just think of him as an institution, right? But I think with women's sports in particular, for me, the more that we can have those normal things that we have in men's sports, the more normal it's, we're just going to treat it collectively as a society. And I think we've have a breakout star, we have breakout characters, and we're having them more often. Going back to your moments thing of we're having more moments that way. Like, even since the World Cup, well, I guess it was would have been this year or last year. Last year, I don't know. The years are starting to run blend together. Of like, there was disappointment, and I think it was the first time collectively, like, people felt disappointed by the women's national team. And I think that's okay. Like, I
Yep,
think
no, I think that's what we want
that's a
with
very
men.
good thing. Yeah,
I
because
mean,
that's the.
Mulkey's any of 12 men's coaches. that have gotten attention through the years. So maybe five. I mean, she's Bobby Knight, right? She's pick your person in charge, holds a grudge, pushes their kids thing, which I think is great. Like, works for her. I mean, I don't know if that's great. I think that person exists is great, right? So yeah, no, I'm glad they're having their moment. I'll be interested to see, right? Like, after the Olympics in 2016, was it that ESPN signed the contract with the National Women's Soccer League, and it was going to be, they were going to do all this stuff because it was hot. And then they had like four or five games during the season, and they didn't draw numbers, and they didn't, right? So it'll be interesting to see if it is a college basketball movement or a movement. Their softball ratings always do well on ESPN, and they're always fun to watch. Six innings goes quick. The women have energy. There's stories. But it'll just be interesting to see how this gets through the summer, and
Well,
because it drops off. The sport, well, they'll have the Olympics. So women's sports will have the Olympics,
that's
so that
big.
bridge.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say is, and I think this might be, and some of this might be based on where you and I live, but we have the Washington spirit here in DC and in the media zeitgeist a little bit more. You don't really have a pro team. Like, I think that's one of the things, and we didn't necessarily get to this with Warren, but one of the key differentiator still remains women's sports is largely collegiate driven, aside from soccer, whereas men's sports is predominantly professional driven. And I think it's going to take a long time. And I think society is starting to reap those benefits more WNBA wise, because now people are tuning into the WNBA more and more, or at least knowing who the athletes are more and more, because they've built up this storyline or zeitgeist with them in college. So, anyways, did you watch last night?
I did. I did. I'll tie that in later with old guy, young guy too. But yes, we did.
Okay.
And it was a good game. I watched the second game too, right? Like, that's the other thing. Like, there were two games. So yeah, it was fun to watch them both.
Cool. That's it for women's basketball stuff, women's sports stuff today.
Wait, one thing, and I'm gonna pile on if she's actually listened to this point. She did a great job, Lauren did, of not giving us an answer about the lady lines.
Yeah, she did.
Like, I was I mean, if it would have been different, yeah, I assumed anything, but
Good neutral analyst.
there wasn't also, now at the same time, there wasn't, damn, they're right there, right? So I don't know if I'm listening between the lines or not, but yeah.
Good neutral analyst.
Yeah, good
Good
for her. Yeah,
neutral
she did a good job.
analyst. Okay. Let's move on. The men's Final Four is this weekend. Elite Eight was last weekend. I don't have any thoughts. I'm excited. I'm not sure how much we'll tune in between just being out of town this weekend. But I am excited for, at least for the national championship. I think this weekend is truly one of the best weekends in sports. I think this time of year we take
So
for
you're not gonna be
granted.
watching every moment to cheer against Zach Edey, apparently.
No, but I don't like Zach Edey. I don't. He just annoys me.
Poor little
He's so
former
dull.
baseball player found himself
Ooh,
National Player of the Year 2 years in a row.
the thing that annoyed me the most was it was mid him taking like 27 free throws or whatever it was the other day, and he's complaining for a foul call, like he's not getting foul. Like, I don't know. He's annoying. I'm glad he's, Anyways, I'm like Kim Mulkey with her comment about glad I don't have to play you again last night after the games. Glad after this season I have to see you again, because I won't pay attention to the NBA. All right, you have a trivia question. I just want
I'm
to get to
curious.
the.
There was a moment early in what the Elite Eight when Illinois looked like it had a chance of making the Final Four. Didn't happen. Had they made it there, they would have lost to Penn State during the regular season. So I'm curious, what was the last team that Penn State beat during a regular season in which that team made the Final Four?
I'm very confident in this answer that I know it's going to be wrong, and you're like, you're wrong.
Oh no, I can't believe it's ever, like, there's a part of me that went down this rabbit hole because I wasn't sure it ever happened. Like,
I am very confident in this answer. It is the Trey Burke Michigan team in 2014-ish.
wow, you hit that out of the park. Yes, February 27th, 2013. Penn State beats Michigan, and Michigan went on to the Final Four that year against with that and featured Louisville, Wichita State, and Syracuse.
Yes, and then that was the
Wow.
Kevin Ware game, and And then
That's impressive
also,
stuff.
I think we told this story on this podcast. Longtime friend of the podcast slash longtime listener, Maddie Pryor, lost her shoe at the BJC that night when we stormed the court. She has never found that shoe. It is in the depths of the BJC somewhere. So
So
yeah.
let me secondary question. Since 2000, quarter century-ish, how many times has Penn State beaten a team that reached the Final Four?
Like in that season, like
Like, yeah, how
say,
many times
okay.
between 2000 and now has Penn State beaten a team in that season that reached the Final Four? So like
There haven't
2013 would be
been
one, so it's more than one.
that many Big Ten teams that have reached the Final Four. I can really only think of Wisconsin. And I'm not saying these teams, they beat these teams, but I can think of Wisconsin, Michigan State, Illinois. Those are really the only, and then obviously Michigan, the few that I can think of.
So what's your number?
I'm gonna say two because I don't know if they beat that Illinois team.
Okay. It's actually four.
It's four.
It's four. It was Wisconsin in 2000, Indiana in 2002, and Michigan State in 2009. All in the back half of the, all in once the new year started, they beat these teams and then those teams on the Final Four. I just started going down the rabbit hole watching the Illinois game, thinking, God, I wonder, have they, right? So four times in the past quarter century, Penn State has beaten a team during the regular season that eventually made the Final Four. I don't know if that's worth anything, but it was just interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that's a very random factoid that you
And you
proud of
hit
you for
the
doing it.
number right out of the park for the first one, though. So good for you. That was great.
Yeah, no, I don't know that. I just remember. I always forget. I always remember that one. Okay, let's go on a little rant here. So today I'm going to explain this to Steve live on air. So today, big news in the Penn State sports world. There will no longer be a 7 a.m. wake-up call for students trying to get their tickets for football season. It will instead be a lottery. So it's essentially 5 weeks. You will put your name in the lottery assigned on your week. So if you're a grad, goes grad, senior, junior, sophomore, freshman. Then at the end, they will do this lottery and they will award the tickets. Now I have multiple thoughts on it, but Mr. Old Guy over here already was like, back in my day, we used to drive
No,
just in
I
college with
don't know.
their.
You could mail it in. I just drove because I cared enough that I drove and hand delivered my ticket application. Just
And
like I'm
there's
sure you
nothing
cared
wrong with
enough
that.
that you woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning and got your ticket.
That is the exact right thought, theory, and approach that I have on this. Now I have a lot of issues, and I as the former Hey, listen, not to relive my glory days, but as the former president of Nittanyville, I have opinions and I have credibility in this issue. Okay, I have some thoughts. The first biggest gripe with all of this is it does not favor it. It does not seem that this lottery has any weight or favor. It is just pure random chance, and I don't know if that's necessarily fair or right to Penn State students, particularly those at the University Park campus, that go and attend every Penn State football game. And then on top of that, attend multiple Penn State basketball games a year, go to Penn State baseball games, et cetera. Those are your top tier sports fans. And for whatever reason, should one of them not get a ticket this season, why alienate them? That's wrong and disrespectful. And I don't like that. I think the other bigger concern that I have that this is now the second, maybe third time that I can think of this has come up in the Pat Kraft era is Pat Kraft loves to jack up the secondary markets. Between this and the blue white parking, between raising the ticket prices in general, or well, the Nittany Lion Club donation, the casual fan that maybe doesn't necessarily want to get a full season ticket package, or in this case, what it seems like, again, we don't have all the details yet, but maybe they are going to enact this for the students particularly, is there's no cost cap on those tickets, so you could charge $200, $300 for those t that ticket, and that's, like as a Penn State student, if I'm a Penn State student and I want to make a quick buck, Hell yeah, I'm putting my name in that lottery just for the shot to resell my tickets, essentially. I think there should be some rules around between the pricing there and the number of times you can sell your ticket. And I'm going to go one further. If you don't use your ticket 4 times, you should be dinged in the lottery for the next season when you go to request tickets. I haven't figured out quite what to do with freshmen yet, but I don't know. The way this was presented and explained, and maybe there is more to this, and maybe we're just not, maybe we're just not digging deep enough yet on it. It just kind of seems like BS to me, and I just kind of want to call it out.
Let me ask about the not Ticketmaster piece of it, right? So it's your student account. So you're just registering on your student account, and then they're going to assign the tickets, like, or through the lottery. So you're not going to use Ticketmaster. Is that a proper understanding, or is Ticketmaster still the retailer, and you're just getting determined by the lottery?
I think it's like, how like on your, well, you don't have football season tickets anymore, but on your football season tickets, like it's kind of through Ticketmaster, but it's
Yeah,
not
rest
through
like hockey is and
Ticketmaster.
wrestling is, right?
Yeah, it's like it's a Ticketmaster ticket, but it's controlled by Penn State. I think that's kind of what I'm gathering on
Okay. I just don't know
out
if
of
there's a
this.
savings there that they're not giving, they're not sharing with Ticketmaster because they're not using them for a piece of it or whatever else. Because I don't know how the
No, it
lottery was done before or how the time thing was done before. You went into your student account and the time thing, right? I guess we need somebody younger to
It
tell
was
us
you
that part.
log it was no you logged in it it was you had you logged in it logged into your Ticketmaster, like you would buy concert tickets, like you would buy
Okay.
anything else just through
Okay.
that link. And it was, you better hope
I
you
guess.
your internet worked, and
Yeah, so
Godspeed,
if the
like
back
good
end of
luck.
Ticketmaster isn't really changing, it's just there's still a person, still not cutting them out, I guess is what I was, because I was thinking there was maybe some money there for them. Yeah, I agree. Dedicated fans, let them.
I think the other thing that I and I understand the concern with it for the student that is on vacation abroad and it's whatever time, but that's like a very minor case, and it's stupid to adjust to them. And I'm sorry, but if your alarm doesn't go off, just like you said, like you didn't set enough alarms, like you didn't do the effort to go get the ticket. I don't know.
No, sometimes life is, this feels like one of those, let's give everybody a trophy. It's going to be fair. Life is fair. Sorry, life isn't fair. You get up at 7 o'clock and your internet works, you got tickets. If not, sucks to be you.
I just think about like what frustrates me is me again, maybe we don't know this yet, but what frustrates me with this new system, or the idea of this new system, is what if I've gone to every single game my first 3 years, and now I'm a senior and I don't get a season ticket because I didn't, why? So it's a
And
bad decision.
they always got such great, I mean, maybe it's not great PR, but they were able always able to promote, sold out in 7 minutes, sold out in 4 minutes. Like, it seems like that's a valuable thing to give up too. I mean, not that it's put, but again, that's a valuable thing. It's not putting money in your pocket, right? It's a tweet, it's some social media love. There's probably not as a way to monetize that as there is with the tickets themselves. So
But is there? They're still going to sell out.
I
Like
know they're still
they're,
going to sell the same number of tickets.
and they're effectively charging the same price. I don't think the price has gone up maybe more than $20 since I've been a student.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe there's a backstory we're missing, but first blush and even second blush, I don't know why you mess with stuff that's been working. Maybe we don't understand that it where it went, where it hasn't been working, but it's part of the culture too, right? Like, you know that as a freshman, right? Or even as a sophomore, what's our day? What day in June am I
Yeah.
going to tell my intern guy I'm not going to be in? Or what am I going to trust my mother with my account information or my father to make sure they don't screw it up if I have a job, right?
Am I finding out that the Samsel daughters
No, the
didn't
Samsel daughters
purchase?
did their, and I don't know if they did. No, they did all their own. No, I just know
Okay.
people who've like through the years have made sure that there's, it's like if you're a smart kid, you have redundancies in the process, right? Like, what if something goes wrong? Do I have a backup plan? That kind of stuff. So.
Okay. No. How much I don't think I've ever asked you this question. How much did you spend on your freshman season tickets or whatever
And it was
season tickets?
$7 a game. So it was like a season ticket was like $35.
That's actually probably adjusted for inflation, not
And we had, I mean, you can see the story. You've seen them online, the pictures, right? We had a little punch card thing that said freshman or junior, senior. It had seven numbers in the bottom, and you got it punched. And that, if you didn't keep that card, you weren't getting back in the game the next time. You showed your ID in that card.
I show you what I bought? Hold
Maybe. I
on,
don't know. What
hold
do you
on,
got?
hold on.
Do, 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 do.
I don't think we should. Yeah, there you go. I don't think you were a student. I think this was before your time. But I bought this on eBay the other day for
Yeah,
10
cool.
bucks. It was face
Yeah, like a
value at the
single game
time of
ticket
10
for Pitt. Well,
bucks.
76, 78. Yeah.
78.
Nice.
Penn State won that game. I don't know. I love that ticket design. We
Yeah.
did our ticket story last year. We stole the top of that.
Yeah.
It's got the little
Little
map on the
stadium seating shot in the
back.
back. Yes, that was great.
Here's what I can't figure out. And I'm sure some historian knows. So here in 78, Park Road is called Park Road. But downstairs, I have a blueprint, a big blueprint of Beaver Stadium when they moved Beaver Stadium to its current location from West Campus over. And it says Farm Road on it as opposed to Park Road. And I want to know when they changed that and why they changed that. Because I don't think there's a park there. Like, is
No.
that, and I, is it named after someone? I got a
No.
question.
We'll have to. Okay,
Probably Beaver
that'll be
Buck or
homework for
something.
somebody.
Okay. All right. This week's old guy, young guy. Other than that, because that was this week's old guy. Also, this week's old guy, young
Okay,
guy.
so we had to update. We've had to update TV, so we finally got the TV updated last night during the
You
game.
bought a new TV?
Bought a new TV.
Proud of you.
Yeah, waited since the bowl game. When the bowl game was when the guy came and checked it and told us it was not good. And even before that, my brother had come and said, what are you watching? So anyhow, we changed that, did it, don't have to use the Roku anymore. So everything's like wired, like everything. There's not even like the Roku is, it's just a smart TV, which is great. But I'm curious, that prompted me to think, like, I don't have to touch anything. I don't even have to have a wire connected, right? Because it's wireless. Have you ever in your lifetime actually walked to a TV and turned a channel?
Yes. Yeah. I had to. All the time. What kind of question is that?
How long ago? It's been 10 years at least. Maybe 15. That's, I mean, half your life,
Well,
you're 30, right?
my college dorm TV, which was a flat screen. I lost the remote a couple of times and just it was easier just to reach over and hit the side button. You're right, most TVs these days don't have the like side buttons
Right,
anymore.
right.
But yeah, like we had
Okay, I just
a
didn't know.
bedroom TV.
I
Yeah,
have
look.
bad memories of being like a 7 or 8 year old, right, with cousins staying over, and I'm the one by the TV flipping between the three channels. No, back there. No, back there. When like an
Did
actual
you?
hand
That was
dial.
like, I was saying, you had
Yeah,
to
like
turn
the
the
actual
dial.
click, it clicked when you did it. Yeah, old school.
I will say the best part of having this one of these new smart TVs is the fact that you can just do it off your phone. There's an
Gonna have to
app.
figure that out.
I
Just
haven't done
happy to
that.
have a different remote now. We'll figure it out.
I can't believe, like, I'm not that young. Like, I'm sure that there are
I'm
like
just curious.
10-year-olds that have it, maybe 15-year-olds, but
I bet you there's a 20-year-old somewhere. Doesn't know that there's a button to change. I bet you I have one of them. I bet you I have somebody in class who probably
do you
some.
think here's a question that I have. Maybe do you think this is bad because I'm starting to get into old guy territory now, but do you think kids these days know why the save icon is a floppy disk? Like, do
No,
you think that
and you
like
can't
your
say kids
students
these
know what a
days.
floppy
No,
disk is?
they just know that that's the save button. They don't know what that icon means.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. It could be a jump drive icon for them, probably more appropriately, if anything, or a cloud, right? They don't know.
I don't know. I barely use my thumbstick. I just bought a new one because that's wild. By the way, where is my thumbstick? This little thing's got like a whole terabyte of data on it, and it was like $50 back in my day. You couldn't even buy a hard drive for
So
that price. Like,
you've
that's
dropped the back in my day, and do you think kids these days back to back in like 2 minutes?
it's your
You
fault.
better go upstairs and have some Ovaltine and something. I don't know. Whatever old people drink. I don't
It's
know.
your fault.
Probably
How
not Ovaltine.
come? What?
I have no idea.
My God. Okay.
Prune juice.
Have we discussed everything we needed to discuss on the podcast this week?
Apparently
This
more
was
than enough.
the
It was
funny thing was
strong.
we
It was a
weren't
strong first half with Morin.
what, the funny thing was we weren't even sure we were going to do a podcast this week, and our booking agent got things together. Proud of him. No, we've discussed a lot. I think I will. I don't know. I'm trying to decide if I want to write today. I'm kind of tired of looking at Kale Sanderson on the homepage. Anyways. That's this week's podcast. Thanks to Marn for joining us. Be sure to check out her her socials and all that. She had a lot of fun. That was, like I said, that was genuinely one of the more fun conversations we've had on this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We hope you enjoyed the podcast as much as we did. If you did, you can hit the subscribe button. Thank you to everybody that's been subscribing lately. We really appreciate that. Thanks everybody watching lately. Apparently, we should just talk about wrestling because that's the content that really does well for us. Other than that, let's see. We've got a website. It's called StuffSummerSays.com. On that website, there's a section called With
Steve.
Steve. We've got emails. Mine's staring at StuffSummerSays.com. Steve's is.
Steve at StuffSummerSays.com.
Anything else? Anything else you want
Have a
to
good
me say
week.
goodbye? All right. Oh, wait, I think you forgot the Twitter handle part. My
Oh,
Twitter
Twitter
handle is
has
at, yeah, mine's at StuffSummerSays. Steve's is
at Steve Sampson.
proud of us. Cool. Proud of us. All right, we're out of here. Goodbye.